Be seated, please. Pulling weeds and picking stones, we are made of dreams and bones. I want to reassure you, I'm not going to sing again, as I did on Ash Wednesday. But those of you who were here on Wednesday evening might recognize those as lines from the Garden Song by David Mallet, which served as our sermon that we sang together on Wednesday evening. Even though today's reading from Genesis is the story of Noah and the flood, well, the tail end of that story, it is reminiscent of the creation stories five chapters earlier in that book. Just two verses before our reading, God tells Noah, speaking in the third person, which God is certainly entitled to do, in God's own image, God created humankind. That, I believe, is the dream part, that God dreamed us into being and then created us out of the stuff of the earth. And then God came up against the results of making us so godlike. We had to be empowered to make decisions for ourselves, to exert our will. And from the beginning, that has not always panned out so well. There are those scientists today who say that we have no free will, that if every particle of our genetic makeup could be plotted and every familial and societal influence could be tracked, our every move could be predicted with absolute accuracy. Other scientists and ordinary lay folks such as myself would disagree with that. We might indeed be pretty predictable, but we also have a remarkable capacity for spontaneity and for making surprising decisions, sometimes surprising even to ourselves. Oh, I said that out loud, and so on. What is a creator to do? I mean, from even a human perspective, this looks like a pretty safe bet. Made in God's image, act as God acts, right? Well, to a stunning degree that seems to be so. We care for each other. We bend our physical efforts and mental talents toward helping each other to thrive. Medical advances, progress, and understanding that those who seem so different from ourselves are actually our brothers and sisters, all of us in the same created family. And then we invade Ukraine or continually declare war on each other in every imaginable place on the earth. Treat those the least bit different from ourselves in our perception as if they were of a different species, fit only to be exploited and abused. We're kind of a mess all too often, and from very early on, evidently. So much so that the answer to what is a creator to do seemed to prompt the creator to think, well, let's scrap it all and start all over again. Or not start over again. A flood should work. But the Divine One, the creator of all this wonder and proliferation of everything, repented of this idea. Not the flood, as the story goes, but the aftermath. And that brings us to today's story with God and Noah as the primary characters. Let's make a deal, God says. I'll never do this again, and you'll never give me reason to. Well, that part is implied. And you, includes all of you, all of your descendants, and all of the rest of the creation, and all of their descendants. And here's my seal at the bottom of the contract, a rainbow. Deal, says Noah. Well, that's implied also. I mean, what's he going to say? Things start to fall apart again pretty early on the human side, not God's. Like I said, Ukraine, Middle East, civil wars, and so many nations, including our own, and all of those well after the Crusades and attempts by various men, and I say men because I can't think of any women at the moment who attempted world domination. There is a crack in everything, wrote Leonard Cohen in his song Anthem, a kind of description of God's holy experiment, this cosmos of which we are but a small and cracked part. What a dilemma this godlike free will we certainly possess. Endlessly creative, endlessly puzzling in the ways we express our creativity. Left to our own devices, we don't seem to do a great job of exercising either our creativity or our free will. Certainly not a consistently great job in our interactions with each other and with all of creation. Yet sometimes our mishandling of things creates real problems, and our seeking to resolve the problems leads to new discoveries. New possibilities for the good. Nuclear weaponry, nuclear power. Computers that extend our abilities to compress the time it takes to analyze and solve problems. Artificial intelligence that allows us to, well, the end of that sentence remains to be seen, but it does go around and around, doesn't it? Cohen's line, everything is cracked. Well, the next line is, that's how the light gets in. That's how the light gets in. That includes not only global problems, but problems we encounter in our own lives and relationships as well, problems we encounter inside of ourselves, at war with ourselves, one part at war with another. But by God's grace, we learn from our brokenness. The engagement seems to be essential to the process. The AA, or 12-step language for this, is we thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. That means an easier way than falling and getting up and hurting ourselves and others and making amends for those failures and learning from them. Peter writes, Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He wrote that in light of his own experience, with firsthand knowledge of what we're told so succinctly in Mark's gospel. When I wrote that line, I thought, I wrote a master's thesis on Hemingway about 150 years ago, and not a very good thesis, but it did sort of orient me to that writing, and I think Mark is the Hemingway of the four evangelists. I mean, he says what's necessary to say and no more, and I love him for it. Anyway, Mark writes, and this does have some ellipses here on the page, Jesus was baptized by John, and the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan. and the angels waited on him. After John was arrested, Jesus came proclaiming the good news of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Sounds a lot like light shining through the cracks of our brokenness, the brokenness of our world. It sounds like Jesus came to revive God's dream of us, God's beloved children, made of dreams and bones, to live as God intends us to do, in harmony with each other and with all of creation. Our part is to keep at it, to live the dream we have been created to be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.